close your eyes. Let your consciousness move a little more deeply into the center of your being. Let each breath take you into that place that is receptive, that is soft, that is trusting, that surrenders, that receives. In the energy of what's been created here today and what continues to be created, in the love and the honoring that comes from Kryon, the love and the honoring of the human and the journey of the soul here in human form. And the family that we are when we're together in this life, other lives, future lives, and when we're not together in the physical, we are connected by the beautiful grid that runs within us, that runs through the planet, the grid of Gaia, and that we connect to in the cosmos. And we don't have to think, just know and feel that connection and the depth of love that comes with that and the sweetness of knowing who we are, why we are, where we came from, and how blessed we are to be in this moment, in this now moment, present, to receive, creating this moment together so that we can have this special love showered upon us. Take a deep breath in and let yourself receive even more deeply, just opening more. And you don't have to know what that is, just trust that it is. And let your soul resonate with the love that is supported and acknowledged through the beauty of the energy and the message of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. It is difficult sometimes to give a message when I know who's here. There is so much celebration. Do you see what it's like when you laugh? You see the chemistry that is presented when you're joyful? I call it the chemistry of home. It's healing. It's beautiful. Makes a difference. And there's been much of that this day. I know that you are respectful in your silence when I come in. And yet inside, I want you to laugh. I want to feel the joy of your heart. For it makes a difference on how you listen. Messages that I give humanity are benevolent from the creative source. They're beautiful, filled with love, appreciation of humanity. But in this case, I know who's here as well. I always do. It's getting more powerful, you know. Your past life energy, as you sit in the chairs here, is more obvious to me. It broadcasts itself, even in the energy of the earth plane. Oh, I know what you've been through. But you are broadcasting it through that which is your Merkaba more than ever before. In order, dear ones, for you to become closer with spirit, in order for you to have an experience perhaps you haven't had before, I'm going to repeat a phrase. It's time for you to get out of linearity. You are graduating to bigger concepts of yourself. You are graduating to bigger concepts of spirit. My partner teaches what I teach. And you're beginning to get into those areas that are confusing because they are areas you've not heard before. And they involve you with you. That is difficult. But it's even made more difficult if you start to ask the linear questions that so many of you ask. They're normal questions. Dear ones, humanity is linear. You live in three dimensions. And in that paradigm, you exist, even spiritually. And you're constantly asking the questions that you feel are pertinent, and they're not, because they're linear. Today, the subject was brought to you about working with that which is innate, to talk to that which is your body, to imbue yourself with the ability of mining the Akash. These are all concepts. And yet, that which you wish to know about them are linear. I know what you're thinking. The questions so often go like this. How many times a day should I get in touch with my cellular structure? What is the optimum time for meditation? How long should I meditate? Should it be in the morning and the evening? What does spirit want from me? How often should I talk to my cells in a personal way? When I want to generate synchronicity, how is it done? And at what amplitude should my intent be? All of these are linear. And yet you ask them. Is it all right to do it this way? Is it all right to do it this way? And they're all linear questions. The channel is called the end of linearity. In order for me to give you one basic truth today, one basic truth, I've got to give you a parable. So it is time yet again for a parable of woe. I'm going to talk about a human being called woe. Woe is always the subject of the parables. Now, woe is not a male or a female. Woe is a woe man. So it is both. We will call the human being woe and will refer to it as a him for this particular lesson. I want you to know woe. Woe loved God. Woe was an old soul, and he awakened on the planet with intuitive knowledge there was a creator. Early in his life, Woe searched for and found God in his own way in an organization of like minds. And he was pleased with himself. And that is where he met others who loved God. Woe heard about the creative source in his own way. Nothing he heard was inappropriate, really. It all made sense to him, really. And we've said this before, blessed is that which searches for God, period. No matter what the organization is, or whether you think they've got it right or not, the search for God is honored by the creative source. Woe had found his niche and his search, and he began. Woe heard that there is life after his death, and he believed it. It felt right. It was intuitive. Woe knew that he could live his entire life and that there would be a time when he would literally be taken in some form, in some way, to a magic place that he can't even fathom, where he would get that which is a party or a reward for all that he had done on the planet. He was told that the more he did, the more that he accomplished, and the lists that he had would please God, the more he did, the greater chance that when it came for the point of judgment, he would be judged worthy. Woe knew he was worthy. But he began the lineage of his life that was linear. Woe was not wrong. Woe was not really misinformed. Woe was simply being the human. He was doing what humans do. They quantify, they qualify, they count, they assemble, they log. And he did that. Woe went to church many times, sometimes more than once a day. Every single time he went, he kneeled before God and he knew he was in the presence of God and he felt God's love. Woe wept all of the time, feeling the incredible love of God that was there. In the system that he chose, he found God. Every time he went to church, he logged it in. He knew someday there would be someone, perhaps in a place he can't even fathom, that want to know how often he went. Woe was told that it would help if he would then be open and talk about that which he had done or thought and confess these things. And he did that, knowing absolutely that this was the process that God would be pleased with. And he did. Many times, over and over, he felt good. He logged that in too. Woe was looking for other things that would please that which was the creator of the universe itself. He felt part of it. He felt the love of God in his church. He started volunteering. He would go and help this person and that person over and over. He would do labor in order to be a volunteer, knowing it was pleasing to God. He put it in his logbook. The book was getting very big. Woe was getting older. He was so pleased. He was in his second book, in his third book, in his fourth book, logging in the things that he was doing. And he felt good about it. Everything that he heard from those in charge, who were the spiritual teachers, would agree in everything he was doing. Woe was doing it right. He's a good man. He was a good person. He didn't hurt anybody. And then it was time. Woe passed away peacefully. Peacefully. He knew it was the time, and he knew that he would meet the Master. He knew that he would go to a place again that he couldn't even conceive of, that would be beautiful beyond anything that he had seen. And he was right. Oh, he was right. He passed through the tunnel and he recognized the white light at the end. This is God. This is where it's going to happen. I'm on my way to a place where there'll be a beautiful gate where they will listen to me. I brought my logbooks. They're maybe esoteric, but they're with me. I've got them with me. I can tell what I've done, how many times I've done it. Indeed, they will be impressed with me because I did it right. I love God. God loves me. He got all of that right. All of it. God loved him, and he loved God. Could it be more perfect? No, really, not to woe. He'd done everything properly, and he's a good person. Woe was correct. He got to this beautiful gate. Woe didn't understand at this point in time, but later he did. The gate was it was a conscious creation of his own. He expected it, and even in death, it was there. Woe was ready. There was a beautiful golden angel at the gate. He shone like the sun. Woe recognized him somehow, some way, like maybe he'd met him before. Woe was ready. Woe felt the love of God that day. The creative source was all around him. Woe felt comfortable. And then the golden angel, that beautiful voice, welcomed Woe to heaven. Welcome, Woe. We've expected you. What have you got? To Woe, this was the opportunity to prove himself. What did he bring with him? What had he done? And slowly he began to talk to the angel. I have been good. I have done these things. Look at the volumes of what I've done. It was impressive. Woe talked for a long time, giving that golden angel who was so patient with him over and over the things he had done, that which would be pleasing to God, the number of times he had done it. Impressive. There were a few times when he went to church 3 times a day. That was impressive. It was the top of the list, so it'd be seen. The golden angel was quite attentive, never moved. Just emanated love. And Woe was silent. And then the golden angel said, Woe, I'm not interested in how many times you did something. How much compassion did you have? What's the quantity of compassion you had? And Woe said, I had to be compassionate. Look, I did this 300 times. I did this 400 times. The angel stopped him and said, Woe, you're not allowed to give me numbers. How many loves did you give? If you want to give me numbers, how many compassions did you give? How many lives did you affect by those compassions and loves? And Woe was beginning to feel uncomfortable. And he was saying to himself, maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I got it wrong. The golden angel could read his mind. Woe, I want you to relax. And I want you just to tell me. What was your intent as you did these things? And Woe had no answer except one. I want to impress you, he said. So I could go through the gate. I want to please God. So I could go through the gate. And the angel said, what did you do to please yourself compassionately? What did you do to love that which was inside you that you knew was divine? Woe. Woe put down the books and realized he got it wrong. Woe began to cry. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just realized that the assemblage of everything he'd created all his life was somehow missed the mark. He wasn't being asked the questions he thought he would be asked. The golden angel said, "Whoa, by your intent, the gate opens. For your intent is good enough for today." Noah was so grateful. The gate opened and he went in. Now this is where we have to stop the story of woe, because woe was no longer woe as soon as he passed the gate. He became part of the creative source. He became part of the family. We've told you what happens to you when you cross that barrier between human consciousness and the consciousness of God. How long woe was there, we can't tell you that either. But we can pick up where woe begins again. Woe became aware of who he was, for he picked up the same soul. And the next thing he knew, he was connected to an umbilical cord. He was back. This is the story of woe, the parable that we want to give you to answer some of the questions that we hear over and over. I want you to be clear about the end of linearity. There are no steps to climb. There are no beads to count. There's no repetition that will create the love of God for you. Did you hear that? There is no act which you can perform which gets you into a better place than you're in now. There's no amount of anything that you can do that's all linear. These are concepts which we wish to teach tonight, and we already have by the story of woe. He loved God, but in the process, he didn't love himself. First question. I want to meditate correctly before spirit. It's a good question. It's linear. And I'll give you the answer. Because the question is about how many and how much. It always is. How much should I meditate? How long should it be? You're still asking. I'm going to answer. How many times should you meditate? Are you ready for this? Once. How often? Once. Now, crying, is that once a day? No. That's for the rest of your life, dear one. One time. I want you to go in meditation and never come out. Do you hear me? Never come out. I want you to be close to your peace of God inside. You're always in a meditative state. You're in a walking meditation. You're alert. You're connected. And you never leave. Do you hear this? That's a concept. There is no linearity. And if you object to that and say, "Well, yeah, but you're not in 3D crying. We got to do it here or there." Or no, you don't. You do it one time and let your body decide when it gets intense and when it isn't. When it's you're driving or when it's you're walking or when you're talking to a friend or when you're compassionate or when you're perhaps sleeping. One time. You're always there. You're connected to God. You have in you the creative seed given to you very early. You're born with it. You ask about it. First time you awaken, I said this morning, you look for God. Well, when you've decided that it's inside you, I want you to connect with it and never stop. One time. All your life, one time. Don't you dare keep a log. We're not interested. You shouldn't be either. What's your compassion quotient? Again, I ask. You can't count how many compassions there are. You can't count how many loves there are. If you're in love with yourself, it's not quantitative. It just is. Do you see? First question Woe was asked was about himself. What did you do for you? And then once that was cleared, not much, the next question was asked, what was your compassion for others? He wasn't in the compassion mode. He was counting genuflex. That's what was important. How many times could he bow? How many times could he show honor? How many candles did he light? Dear ones, that's linear. I want you to start understanding a multidimensional plan. I'll make a statement. You only have 3D to work in, right? We know that. You know that. So here's something new. I want you to do three-dimensional actions for multi-dimensional solutions. And you'll be right. It's all you got right now. It's all you got. And that three-dimensional action will be you with you the best way you can to go into a state of meditation that's forever. And you'll give intent for it. Between intent, compassion, and love, that's all we see. Spirit sees energy. Spirit sees energy. And the compassion that you would have for the one next to you when you walk out of the room for the one who cuts you off on the road. The compassion you'd have for a family member who doesn't understand where you were today and gives you a bad time. That's energy. How are you doing so far? These are the tough ones. It's easy to be compassionate to a homeless person or a poor person. What about for you? Can you have compassion for your own life? Can you fall in love with everything that is you and is happening around you, no matter what it is? Can you have compassion, understanding, and love for circumstances you don't know about? That's energy. And that's what we see. Now you know why affirmations are one of the strongest things that an old soul can begin. Out loud, you are saying things to yourself, and we're hearing them, and they carry tremendous energy of joy, of purpose, of intent. And you stand there, perhaps even in the mirror, and you say, I am healthy. I am youthing. I am a spiritual being and part of God. I am that I am. I am on purpose. I am beautiful before God because I am part of the plan of God. And there is joy that rings through this. And it's nonlinear. You are saying statements in three dimensions, and you're getting multidimensional solutions. This is the new human, dear one, who starts to understand the language of spirit is energy. Now go do it, old soul. Go do it. And so it is.